Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope you enjoyed your weekend. First weekend without football since August. Ryan, did it feel strange to you? No football for the first time since the summer?
No, not at all, actually.
Really? Is that because you normally sleep during the... Stop it. You did not say we had the Pro Bowl. It's not even a game. It's a skills competition with trivia and flag football of sorts.
They had a spike of football. That takes strength, and strength is skill, and skill is football.
Okay. All right. So you actually watched it?
No.
Okay. At least you're honest. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I did not watch any of the skills or the flag football or anything that happened from the Pro Bowl. If I had to guess where it was, I'd say Orlando, but I don't even know that for sure. I guess it could have been Vegas. I don't know. It was in Vegas the first year because I remember they honored Derek Carr in his return to Vegas after he'd been dumped by Josh McDaniels and the Raiders, but I actually don't know. Here's what I do know. There were some headliners coming out of the Pro Bowl, the skills competition. For instance, Peyton Manning's son, Marshall. Oh, he can throw a spiral already. He was kind of the mascot, if you will, for Peyton's team. But no joke, you think there's a lot of attention right now on Arch Manning, who is Cooper's son? Let's see what happens when Peyton's son plays football, and if he continues, at least his ability to throw a spiral is notable right now. He was chucking touchdown passes to Ja'Marr Chase in the end zone. That was impressive. Guys were raving about him. And then Eli, he had his son there as well, and he was asking him to do a touchdown dance, well, the gritty, with Justin Jefferson. That was pretty funny. Cute kids. Other news to come out of the Pro Bowl, though. Russell Wilson on the mic getting asked about his future and the Steelers. We'll hear from him momentarily. Baker Mayfield also did an interview in which he was asked about losing another offensive coordinator, this time to the Jags in Liam Cohen. And in addition to football, Pro Bowl football, the prep for the Super Bowl ramps up. So both the Chiefs and the Eagles are on the ground in New Orleans. Travis Kelce's wallet a little lighter. Did you see he got fined the $11,255? It's so specific because he was taunting DeMar Hamlin and Cole Bishop after his touchdown. Oh, no, I'm sorry. After Mahomes' touchdown. My fault. So it was the AFC Championship. Remember, Mahomes ran in from 10 yards out, put his head down, but the final block was delivered by Travis Kelce. And apparently he's been fined by the league for his taunting after that score.
That's lame.
Yeah, it is kind of lame. But we know the NFL stands for no fun league. You're not allowed to have fun. No talking, no trash talking, no chewing gum, no using props for your celebrations. Nope, it's got to be pantomime. It's got to be charades out there. You can't have a Sharpie. You can't have a phone. Nothing along those lines. Man, those were the days. So, yes, we'll hear a lot from these guys on that. It's called, well, it used to be Media Day. Now it's what? Media Primetime, Media Night, I don't know, Monday Primetime, Monday at the Super, I don't know. We're not in New Orleans, and I'm not going this year. A lot of times I would fly into the site of the Super Bowl on Tuesday. Instead, we'll have our Radio Row originating from the After Hours Super Secret home base. And we've got some cool guests lined up for the week. Former NFL tight end Vernon Davis, former safety Rod Woodson. So some fun names out there, and we're still adding to the list. But also, this is kind of random, but I think it's funny. I still don't know why he was offered to us, but he was offered to us. We didn't pursue an interview with Johnny Damon, but a former member of the Red Sox, remember their World Series team in 2004 with the Cowboy Up slogan, Johnny Damon used to have the crazy long hair. He was part of that Cowboy Up along with, it's going to drive me crazy. Who was the first baseman? Kevin Millar. Those two kind of set the tone. They weren't the only ones, but they kind of set the tone. I don't know why Johnny Damon has been offered to us. I will do my research as we head through the week. But I know that he's also on our guest list for this week. Plus our friend Lindsay Rhodes, longtime NFL host, and now has the podcast that she does for Sports Illustrated. So we're looking forward to it. Our friend Solomon Wilcots, former Cincinnati Bengals safety. So it should be a lot of fun. That's coming up as we walk through the week. And I'll keep you posted as we have more updates as well. Ron Rivera, though, on Monday, he's our first guest of Super Bowl week. It'll be our second time talking to him this year, which is pretty cool. Make sure you follow us at Amy After Hours or on my Twix at A-Law Radio. And that way you can keep up with our guests. And all of our guests are podcasted separately. So if you miss a conversation, you can find it by checking out the podcast. So I encourage you to bookmark the link. It's an evergreen link, meaning the podcast just continues to load newest stuff first, newest material first. So as long as you have the link or you have the spot, you can get it on Spotify and Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. But yeah, as long as you have that bookmarked and have that saved, the podcast, the new ones will just continue to reload. So it's most frequent at the top. Also on our Facebook page, we'll post the links there throughout the week as well. We're gauging your reaction to the Luka Doncic trade. So far, I've not heard anyone who thinks it's a really good idea. Now, obviously, the Lakers are thrilled to have him. And we will hear from the Lakers as we head through this week. At some point, we're going to hear from LeBron James. The idea that Nico Harrison tried to sell, though, is that the Mavs targeted AD, Anthony Davis, because they need defense to win championships. Okay, here's something crazy. Why not go out and shoot for the moon? Ask the Bucks if they're willing to trade Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, it's probably a no, but if you want a defensive dude, why not him? If you want someone who changes the defense in the middle, why not him? Also, Dallas had Kristaps Porzingis. I know he deals with injuries too, but that's Anthony Davis. He's not healthy at this moment. I don't know how long he's going to be out. And who knows when Doncic is back either. They said he was close, like this week, he would end up getting back on court. But he does have his own team of doctors and trainers. And so the date was fluid. The whole idea is to get, well, I guess from the basketball perspective, does this get you closer to winning a championship?
Luka, when I first came here, you know, excited about the opportunity to coach an upcoming star who became a mega star. And I was just blessed to have that opportunity to coach him. But when you look at the vision of the team and what Nico wants to build, I truly support that. And truly believe that the players that we are getting are the ones that can help us achieve that, and that's to win a championship.
Just out of curiosity, anybody out there think the Mavericks are better now than they were 48 hours ago? Ryan.
Maybe because they have someone who can actually get on a game for like 10 minutes compared to being out for 3 weeks.
Okay. So available right now.
Right now. That's the only way they're better.
That puts them in a better spot. Okay. I love this tweet from the Dawes man. That's how he identifies himself. He's 25. They've been on his fitness for 3 years. He's immature and Dallas got tired of it. You sound like his mother defending him. He's only 25. He will figure it out. Or maybe I'm just rational. At 25 years old, you're not doomed for life. Imagine where you were, Dawsman, at 25 years old. Are you the same dude now that you were then? I'll tell you what, I drank a lot of Dr. Pepper when I was in my 20s. I mean, like, nonstop. I loved it. I didn't start drinking coffee till I was in my 30s. So Dr. Pepper was my caffeine. It was my jolt. I worked a lot of nights. 20 years ago, I was just starting my network career. Before that, I had done mornings at local radio in Providence. Do you know what I used to get me through my shifts? Dr. Pepper. Not a good healthy choice. Not a good life choice if you want to keep your teeth or if you want to remain somewhat in shape. You know what else I started doing when I got into my 40s? Running half marathons. I didn't do that when I was younger because I didn't have to. My metabolism was going all the time. Yeah, people are not the same in their 20s as they are even in their 30s. If you believe Luka's worth it, then you continue to invest. And they didn't have to trade him right now. They didn't have to, which is the part that kind of blows me away. So, Dawsman, even if you believe Dallas got tired of his immaturity, such an immature athlete that they made it all the way to the NBA Finals last year, imagine how far they could have gone as he started to grow up. But even if you believe they got tired of it, how do you defend the Mavericks for not getting more in return? How do you defend the fact that this trade was done in secret? And that's another thing that really blows Charles Barkley away. Not just the fact that they traded Luka Doncic, but a couple of other elements.
The most shocking thing about this trade is a couple things. Number one, you never trade stars for stars. I'm trying to remember, you know, I've been in the NBA for 40 years. Normally when you trade a star, you get a bunch of junk back. This is the first time I can remember where you got two all NBA players traded for each other. I mean, obviously, I don't remember every trade, but I'm trying to think. You guys got a great staff there behind the scenes. I don't remember the last time we traded an all. It probably never where you traded an all NBA player for an all NBA player. Mm. So that's probably. And the second thing is, normally when stars get traded, you hear a lot of rumblings, and you just put them up for the highest bidder.
Except in this particular case, they never bothered to see what kind of market there was for Luka. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. This trade came to mind. I'm not saying it's the same magnitude, but the Oklahoma City Thunder, remember they traded away Russell Westbrook to get Chris Paul? Well, that was the swap. So two all-star guards, I dare say future Hall of Famers. Chris Paul is definitely going to be in the Hall of Fame. I would think Russell Westbrook would too, though I guess I don't know for sure, but I would say he's on the border. NBA All-Star, I'm sorry, not All-Star, NBA Hall of Fame or Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts is easiest is unfair. It's the one with the least stringent requirements to be inducted. So there's a real good chance both Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook are Hall of Famers. And they ended up getting swapped in addition to a bunch of draft picks. But that was kind of straight up. Can you think of another one in which you had all-stars, all-NBA players get moved?
Doesn't really count. Harden for Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons at the time.
Does he still play in the league?
Barely. He's in the Nets, barely plays. But at the same time, he was all-NBA / all-star. Right. There's Wash Lillard for Holiday, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
It's like there's a superstar, and then there's like a star that you can say has been all-star game, but is not capable of carrying a team.
Right. It's one thing to be an all-star / all-NBA, but another to be one of the top three players in the league.
Yeah.
NBA blockbuster trades all time. Sounds like it was trending on social. The biggest trades in NBA history. Let's see if any of these go along with. Wilt Chamberlain to the Sixers. Okay, well, it wasn't two players. Well, it wasn't two all-stars traded for each other. Okay. Keep going. Down, down, down. Oscar Robertson, Robertson to the Bucks. That goes back to 1970. He was traded for Flynn Robinson and Charlie Polk. Again, not all-stars. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to the Lakers. Nope. Nothing in return. Charles Barkley to the Suns. I mean, he was a all-star, future Hall of Famer. But he was dealt for Jeff Hornacek, Andrew Lang, and Tim Perry. Hornacek may be the one that people know. Shaquille O'Neal to the Heat. Caron Butler, Brian Grant, Lamar Odom. A first-round pick and a second-round pick.
That's not that bad. Lamar Odom was good.
Do you remember when Carmelo Anthony went to the Knicks? That might still have been a little bit before you were paying attention to sports. But they traded essentially half their team to get Melo. Who went, so the Melo went to New York and the rest of the guys went to the Nuggets. Paul George to the Clippers. Danilo Gallinari. Oh,
Shea. Yeah.
Shea. Mm-hmm. Okay, but we at the time, we didn't know that he'd be an MVP caliber player.
And like 7 third graders.
3 first-round draft picks, though. How about that? Paul George to the Clippers. He was a 6-time All-Star then. And remember, he wanted out. So that's the other thing that makes this kind of off the path of Luka is that Paul George wanted a trade. He wanted out. And right on the heels of that, Russell Westbrook wanted out. So those two guys defected en masse pretty quickly. But he wanted to go to LA. That was actually where he always wanted to be and then had his sojourn to OKC. So this was in 2019. Danilo Gallinari, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 3 first-round draft picks, and another pair of pick swaps. So Paul George ends up getting 3 first-round draft picks. How do you only get one for Luka? Anthony Davis, too, he went, I mean, he's been part of another controversial trade. The Pelicans won the draft lottery. That was how they chose to get, or that's how they got Zion Williamson. And the Lakers wanted Anthony Davis. Remember, it got squashed by the league during the season. But New Orleans got Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart. I don't even know if any of those guys are still on the roster. Obviously, Josh Hart is not. The Lakers went on to win the NBA title, of course, in the bubble in Anthony Davis's first season with them. James Harden to the Nets. Yeah, that's kind of stupid. Forced his way out by being a punk, acting like a punk. The Nets had to give up Rodions Kurucs.
Rodions Kurucs. He had a good rookie year.
Okay.
And then he had lawsuit issues.
Lawsuit issues. Kevin Durant to the Suns.
It's a lot of bad, like Charles Barkley said.
Yeah, it's not like really top tier players getting swapped for each other.
I saw Pau Gasol from Marc Gasol.
Right, true. Still though, we're not talking about a top 3 player in the league. And I would say Anthony Davis is, would you call him top 10 in the league?
Not anymore, he's okay. Top 20.
Top 20, okay, so still. You got 2 guys in the top 20, 2 perennial all-stars. So what about this from the Lakers' perspective, Sir Charles?
I do think this kind of sets the end to, like, the LeBron James making all the decisions. They're like, hey, we love you, LeBron, but we're going to start what's doing best for the Lakers. That's what I got out of this trade from a Lakers standpoint. Because I don't know if they didn't come tell LeBron. Because, number one, Clutch Sports is Anthony's agent. But it seems like to me, they're like, hey, you know what? LeBron's on his last legs. Let's start getting us a star for the future.
I don't think you have to explain it from the Lakers' perspective. As much as you love Anthony Davis and you appreciate the fact that he helped you win a championship in 2020, he's not Luka Doncic. I mean, this is slam dunk. You sacrifice AD if you have to in order to bring in a player like Luka. Now, it seems that Charles Barkley, who made those comments on NBA TV, is accepting of the report that LeBron had no idea. I don't even know that the agents would have had any idea. Not until the very last second. It's been some pretty interesting reaction, but one thing people keep saying over and over is that nobody knew. it didn't leak until Shams Charania dropped his bomb on Saturday night. By the way, the Lakers even tweeted something along the lines of, yes, it's really true, or yes, it really happened on Sunday. Something else that happened too, Ryan, I don't know if you saw this. There were videos going around Saturday night late. Fans sitting courtside near the benches of various NBA teams were telling the players, Luka just got traded to LA. And the reaction, even if you can't hear it, just seeing the facial expressions of the athletes as they're on the bench. So for instance, Kevin Durant, you can look it up. If you want to share the video on our show, Twix, at Amy After Hours. Kevin Durant sitting on the bench with the Suns. He's at the far end of the bench. He's got a couple of guys on either side of him. Someone from the stand. So someone who's sitting courtside, I don't know if it was a fan or a media member. A lot of times you have photographers that are sitting there on the edge of the court, kind of kitty corner to the benches. Someone handed them a phone and showed them the news that it was legit. And Durant's reaction is priceless.
That, I just saw it. They're going to get, how, oh my gosh. A fan telling a player most things is probably like, oh, you don't take it seriously.
Right. But then he handed the phone over.
Which probably is a fine.
Yeah.
But oh, well. We're getting worried because it's cool.
Yeah, right. Who cares? But it happened in multiple places where fans were telling the guys on the bench, guess what? Luka got traded. Luka got traded. You could hear it in some cases. It gets picked up by a mic that's close by. But the reactions, even without hearing it, the reactions that you see from players is, yeah, it's pretty telling.
You keep mentioning it. I don't know why. Why? This is too, like, the Lakers, you needed to do something because they were going nowhere. The Mavericks, they were
relaxing. In the NBA Finals last year?
But I think that was a fluke, but.
Whatever, they still got there.
Got there.
And
but,
even with a dad bod 25-year-old Luka. Now, they needed more, which is why theoretically they brought in Klay Thompson. And I get it, their defense wasn't great, but you were also playing a buzzsaw in the Celtics. And the matchups were rough. I mean, if you're worried about defense, why do you have Kyrie? But you didn't bring Kyrie in for defense. Anyway, just it's mind-blowing and also stealing thunder from the Super Bowl week. But coming up, you'll hear from Russell Wilson on the Steelers and Baker Mayfield about Liam Cohen heading to Jacksonville. Something else that I discovered, our friend Rob Motti, who covers football for the AP, had a one-on-one with Josh Allen. And this is the most honest I've heard Josh talking about the tough loss to the Chiefs. So we'll do a little QB news, if you will, coming up. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. What do you think of Luka in Lakers gold? Yikes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City.
And off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
We're going to slide it in there because we are, in fact, kicking off Super Bowl week, and we've got two high-profile quarterbacks who've already landed in New Orleans. It's After Hours here on the Infinity Sports Network. We're taking your reaction to the Luka trade, Luka in Lakers gold, at A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. Second time in 3 years for Jalen Hurts, but not so for the entire Eagles organization. But what does he take away from that first appearance, and how can he use it this year?
I think hindsight, you know, from a perspective that everyone's not really experienced that before, and then everything that comes with the week, I think that to something that's big is just being of good influence on the guys that haven't been there before, being able to answer questions and open that door so everyone's that much closer when we go out there and experience, you know, because in the end it's a business trip and it's an opportunity that we've worked for to have, and we want to take advantage of it.
Yeah, a lot of players will tell you, current and former, that they're not really prepared for all of the text messages and ticket requests and demands on their time. And if you can boil it down to another game and stay in that business trip mode for one more week, you may achieve your goal. But there's so many distractions, and it can be a bit of a whirlwind. So I appreciate that from Jalen. Second time in 3 years for the Eagles, but he resists the idea that it's all about him.
I think that's the nature of it. Don't get lost in what the nature of a team sport is. It takes a team to go out there and have success. So it's looked a ton of different ways, but any team that has success, it looks a ton of different ways. And so just put our focus on winning.
Well, and certainly the offensive line deserves a ton of credit in 2024 for these Eagles, not to mention the pressure that Saquon Barkley takes off Jalen Hurts in the backfield. And I know he gets the glory with all the touchdowns from a yard out with the tush push, but Saquon Barkley's had a dream season, and it's reestablished the identity and the ball control of these Eagles. As for the Chiefs, well, Patrick Mahomes has been there, done that a bunch. They're trying for the three-peat, of course. And what we know about the Chiefs is they have a flair for the dramatic. They actually, I think, perform better when they get 10 points down. But also, they deliver in the tightest and most stressful situations. Why?
To me, this team's been special because it's been everybody. I mean, if you look at our entire season, it's like someone that makes a big play at the biggest moment to go out there and win a football game, if that's offense, defense, or special teams. And so I think the fact that it's been everybody, it's not just offense, it's not just defense, it's everybody on the entire team is something I'll remember this season by. And hopefully we can do it the right way and get this final win.
Yeah, it's not just about Patrick Mahomes. The defense has come up with incredible stops when they had to have them. Even the special teams, what, blocking a kick at the end of the Denver game to preserve that lead. How about the 50-yard kickoff return, or I guess it was a punt return, that set up the Chiefs in the game against the Bills? So there are a lot of different ways that you see guys chip in. Mecole Hardman caught the game-winning touchdown for them a year ago. So Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, that's the core, but they've had a revolving door around them in many cases. Same thing on the defensive side. Chris Jones, so critical. Other guys who've been there, but the fact that they can have new people every year and still maintain this level of play should speak more about culture and more about the discipline that it takes to be out there on the field. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Of course, Josh Allen and the Bills on the wrong end of the AFC Championship. And longtime AP NFL insider Rob Motti caught up with Josh Allen and asked him about his emotions after that loss.
It sucks. You're sitting here thinking about everything that you could have done differently. You know, I'm having dreams about certain plays that I wish I could have back. You know, there's no easy way about it. There's 30 other teams right now sitting at home, going to be watching the Super Bowl from their couch. And, you know, we're one of those teams. And I'm going to keep doing everything that I can do to make sure that, you know, we're not one of those teams going into the season next year. You know, it's, you know, gotta let the body heal a little bit, but getting back to work and making sure that I'm getting back to my mechanic work and just making sure that I'm doing everything that I can do to help this team get over that hump and win a Super Bowl.
It sucks, he says. He's having dreams about plays he could have done differently or could have made in the moment. Oh, gosh, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat like that, where you have it. You feel like you have it nearly in the grasp. Not quite control, but at least in the grasp. Rob Motti from the AP. He's been a guest here on the show a bunch, talking with Josh Allen. Russell Wilson also at the Pro Bowl games, and he had a microphone in front of his face, and he's made it very clear, he wants to remain with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Why?
Just the great teammates, man, the fan base, the organization's special. Love playing there, and you know, it's just Coach Tomlin is world-class. You know, obviously we didn't finish the way we wanted to, and so you have a bitter taste in your mouth, but you also know that I think that we got a chance, that's for sure, and we're not far away.
On SiriusXM NFL Radio from the Pro Bowl games, it seemed like a lot of guys got inserted into the Pro Bowl festivities at the last second, injuries, that kind of thing. But good for Russ. Looked like he was enjoying himself. Baker Mayfield also there after a season with some gaudy numbers that helped to get Liam Cohen a job as the head coach of the Jaguars. So second consecutive year in which the OC, the offensive coordinator from the Bucs, has gone on to become a head coach. Dave Canales last year, and now Liam Cohen, although it was done kind of undercover of night, but also on SiriusXM from the Pro Bowl games, Baker Mayfield was asked about Liam Cohen.
Obviously, people have their thoughts on how it went down, and I understand the emotional aspect of it, but I'm happy for Liam. He deserves that opportunity, and so for Trevor, it's Liam taught the game of football to all of our offensive guys, and he helped me out tremendously with pre-snap adjustments and being able to eliminate and process information quick. And so Trevor's going to have a guy that's really going to, you know, grow into him and like lean into that and like help him out, and not just on the field but off the field. So I'm excited for Trevor.
Maybe you saw the story about how the Jaguars requested to interview one of the assistant coaches with the Bucs and they were turned away. Bucks are like, no thanks. You've already stolen one of our dudes. You don't get anybody else. A little bit of gamesmanship there. Baker Mayfield, another pretty incredible season. He deserves to be there at the Pro Bowl festivities. But if you, and I know they lost, or they came up short of their goal, I should say. But you look at his regular season numbers, 71.5% completion rate, 4,500 passing yards, 41 passing touchdowns, and 16 interceptions. So he had a couple of games there where he was fast and loose with the ball. A passer rating of nearly 107. That's pretty impressive. So I think his career average is about 91-ish, something along those lines. So he's had two really incredible games, or incredible seasons, excuse me, with these Buccaneers, and they love him there for sure. One more quick note, that not that it's part of QB news, but did you hear that Eric Bieniemy has a new job in the NFL? And he will be working in that same backfield with Caleb Williams because he is taking the job as running backs coach with Ben Johnson. So Johnson's hired the offensive coordinator. Now he's hired Eric Bieniemy. And recently, Eric was on Speak. Is that on FS1? Speak on FS1. And he was actually asked about where he'd like to coach next.
I'm looking for the opportunity to work with some good people. I want to work with good people, a good organization. On top of that, just understanding that, hey, there is a grind that's to this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not afraid of going to an organization that may want to start over.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of going back to an organization that may be doing some great things. When it's all said and done with these jobs that we do, we do it because we love it. The thing that you want to do, you want to put yourself in an atmosphere where you're working with great people that want to make great stories and embrace the journey of chasing a championship ring. So I want to put myself in that environment where I feel more comfortable in, whereas we're going to have that opportunity to create those stories that's going to be forever lasting. And on top of that, let's not forget this either. We're still, you know, in the process of being labeled as coaches to have impacts on young men. And so it's still about having that impact on a young man's life, helping them to grow in this profession. But on top of that, helping them become better people as well off the field.
Everybody, let me take it back. The majority of people who've played for Eric Bieniemy as a coach rave about him, including a bunch of the Kansas City Chiefs, current Chiefs, because he was their OC for quite a while. So he is now with the Chicago Bears to coach their running backs. So I'm glad to hear that Bieniemy has another gig. He spent 24 as the assistant head coach and offensive coordinator for UCLA, and has done some college work now after he was let go by the Commanders following the 23 season. What's your reaction to Luka in Lakers gold? Okay, it's jarring. And I know some of my Dallas Mavericks fans, the ones that are in my life, are angry, upset, sure that something else is happening. I've even had one friend say to me that they must be moving the team. So the people are just blown away by it inside and outside the NBA. We'll get to some more of that reaction coming up. 855-212-4227. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
As Malawach heads out, the other four starters stay, and immediately a deflection and a steal for Brown. Three on two, it's Cooper to the rack, put it up, count it, and a foul! It's an avalanche, and it's 17-6. Cooper faces up with 5-4, drives Davis, spins, waiting, fades away, and hits! A dagger at the buzzer! And the lead grows to 22. 47-25 at the break. Cooper Flagg has 13.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Get to know the name Cooper Flagg if you haven't already. Remember, he made some waves when he was part of the USA basketball camp. Well, camp. It was really a training camp for the Olympics this summer, but they brought in guys to play against the All-Stars, and Cooper stole the show, even as at that point, an incoming freshman for the Duke Blue Devils. David Shumate with the calls on Duke Radio from Learfield. Yeah, this was his debut against UNC, so his debut in that rivalry on Tobacco Road, and early on he was very active. He was either scoring or assisting on their early spurt out of the gate, and as you hear, he had 13 at halftime. He finished with 21, and are you ready? 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, and 2 block shots. And as much as the ball is in his hands, only 3 turnovers in this one. So that wasn't you hearing it incorrectly. The score was, in fact, 47-25 at halftime. So it was pretty much out of hand for the second half. Tar Heels outscored the Blue Devils in the second half, but not enough that they were able to really cut into that deficit. So a lot of fun to see Cooper Flagg on this stage and his first taste of victory against UNC.
I mean, I thought it was a great start. We came out with really good energy. The building was jumping. I thought that was a great start. Coach stressed us was that it was just another game. At the same time, it was just another game. But you could definitely feel a different energy in the gym tonight. It was definitely a little different.
Yeah, you think? A little bit different. One of the most storied rivalries in all of sports, even transcending college basketball. And now, if you look at the Blue Devils and where they are, they're sitting at 19-2. They're perfect in conference play. We are a month away from conference championships-ish, so 5 weeks for the power conferences, 6 weeks away from March Madness. Very likely this will be, I know it's not crazy, Ryan just had this look of what? I can't believe it's February 3rd on this Monday morning. How is that possible? January went by in a blur. It was a chaotic blur, but it was a blur.
I don't like this.
No, it's
not at all.
It's going very fast. Wait till you get to be old like me, Ryan. Then time moves even faster. And you think, what the heck? Slow down. Anyway, the Blue Devils and Cooper Flagg are, what, 6 weeks away from March Madness, more than likely. I actually don't know the date of Selection Sunday. Let me check my handy dandy phone for the day. I'll bet you it's March 16th, but I could be wrong. It could be March 9th. Nah, that seems early. Probably March 16th. It's usually right around St. Patrick's Day. So, Ryan will correct me if I'm wrong. This is likely to be Cooper Flagg's only time participating in March Madness, his only year doing it. Unless something changes and he decides he really loves playing at Duke, which I guess is a possibility. Right now, he's already the presumptive number one pick. So he could be a one-and-done player, which means he's going to want to make the absolute most of this. So his first taste of UNC, there'll be another one, of course, the return trip to visit the Tar Heels. They've got the ACC tournament. They could grab a one seed. Right now they're sitting on that top line for the projections for March Madness. So you can understand why they've got a lot more to do than just beat North Carolina.
I mean, I would say I'm never really satisfied with the way we played. We definitely still have a lot we can grow from, a lot to get better at. But definitely was a good win for us, and we played pretty well.
I'm really excited to see him in the NBA at whatever point that happens. Of course, I love seeing him in college basketball, but there's been a lot of buzz around him for quite a while. Thing is, though, the last time I felt this way about a player in the NBA, it was Zion, and that's been rough. His injury issues have led to his fitness issues, which have combined to add more stress to his physical body and more injuries. But, man, when he's healthy on the court, there's just no one like Zion. There's not a whole lot he can't do when he's out there. Looking forward to seeing Cooper Flagg. Completely different body type, so maybe not the same challenges. Although I also want to enjoy him in college basketball, but he will be a draw in the NBA. And before then, he will be a headliner in March Madness. And what March Madness has become, and Ryan, you can correct me if you don't have the same perspective, if you believe it's different for some people. March Madness has really become the time when people get to know these stars. Because of the constant turnover in college basketball and the transfer portal, we really don't have teams that are together for 3 years, 4 years, at least not at the elite level, which means people really only get to know, I think that's contributed to less interest in the regular season. People really only get to know these guys. It's like a flash in the pan. They're conference championships that are on national TV, and then boom, March Madness, and that's your opportunity, and then they're gone.
Then you get people who are basically one show stars, one game. They yep. show out. Like Jack Golke got a contract in the G League now because of one game.
Yeah.
So you make your most of it.
You do. And certainly he can. But you can imagine that Duke is interested in doing more than just playing the one game. They want it all while they've got this guy, this generational talent. I know I use that to talk about Luka, but they've got this guy who very well could be the next big star. Maybe the Mavericks will want to draft him and then trade him away to L.A. when he's 25 years old. Don't! What's your reaction to Luka in Lakers gold? It's crazy. I'm still incredulous. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.